Okay. Yeah, this is Manufacturing 101, and I am going to be covering T1 production and some of the activities related to T1 production, like production efficiency. And then I'm going to cover some of T2 production as well. Yeah. As I've been teaching this class, I've been more and more involved in T2 production, so this class becomes more and more oriented to T2 production as I go along. I'm going to put the link syllabus into lecture.edu, and then the UniWiki topic for manufacturing. And you may want to follow along in those as I get the lecture. The first thing we're going to cover is T1 production. And to do any kind of manufacturing. Manufacturing is one way of making money in EVE, and there are lots of others as well. The one nice thing about manufacturing is that you don't have to log on a lot. So if you have a limited amount of time during the week, as I do in particular during the week, I don't have a lot of time to log on. You can log on for 10, 15 minutes at a time, do some stuff, maybe log on early in the morning before you go to work. And you don't have to spend a lot of time on it. You don't have to be logged in. If you're mining, which is, a perfectly good way to make money, you have to be logged on during the entire time that you do that. And given that we're at war in the university a lot, if you're in the university, then you really can't be AFK. And the same thing goes for hauling. You can make money hauling, running contracts and whatever. But you do have to be logged on while you're doing it, and again, you can't really be AFK. But for manufacturing, you can set up your orders, and they can run while you're logged off, and then whenever you have time to log on, you can continue your activities. Okay, I'm going to go through some. Somebody would like to link those skills into the chat, I would appreciate it. In order to get started with manufacturing, you need one skill, and that skill is industry. And that will allow you to start a manufacturing job. You can't do it without it. Each level of that makes your job run, I think, 4% faster. It's not a real big deal. You will wind up probably training that to, level 5 at some point anyhow, because it's a base skill both for hauling and for mining. It's only a level 1 skill. It doesn't take very long to train to 5. You don't have to do it right away. It doesn't really give you a lot of benefit to manufacturing at the T1 level, certainly, except that it makes it a little bit faster. There is another, if there are two more skills that, okay, the next skill I'm going to post is production efficiency. If you could link that. Yeah. And basically that will allow you to probably because I'm keying up and keying down. I'll do my best. Okay. Another skill that is important for T1 production, in fact for all production, is mass production. If you can link that. Having the industry skill and advanced mass production, thank you. The mass production skill will allow you to have one additional job running. If you just have industry, you can run one job, one manufacturing job at a time. And mass production will allow you to have one additional job running concurrently, for each level. So once you get it up to level 5, you can have as many as 6 jobs running. And if that's not enough, you can train advanced mass production, which requires mass production at level 5, and that will give you an additional 5 jobs, manufacturing jobs that can run at one time. most in need that you can have mass production, production jobs that you can have running at one time is 11. If you want to do more than that, then you have to get in some kind of activity with other people. But that's the most that you can do. Both of those mass production and production efficiency require that you have level 3 in the industry in order to start doing that. And then what you need in order to actually do mass production, you need a blueprint. You need some materials, and you need a production line. And initiate the process for manufacturing in lots of ways. One way is if you have a blueprint that's sitting on your in your iPad hanger. Yes, if anybody wants to, that's not actually the one I'm going to use for my example, but it's as good as one as any. If you have one of those sitting in your item hanger, you can click it, and that will initiate a dialogue, and you can find manufacturing, select that from a list, and that will initiate a dialogue where you can pick an installation, there are quite a few places that have manufactured lines around Aldrant in particular. I think that there are around 4 in the Alternor system. There is 1 in IGBE. You can find public, manufacturing sites fairly easily around Aldrat and lots of other places as well. You can pick an installation. The only installation that you can actually choose is the one where the blueprint is at. If you want to choose an installation where the blueprint is not at, you're going to have to take the blueprint there. Manufacturing lines. If you do have a blueprint and you hit pick installation, you'll see that it gives you a scope, which can be the current station or the current system or the current region. And you can click that installation, and it will give you a list of production lines. You'll find one that says now, one or more that says now, which means that you can immediately start a manufacturing process. Sometimes you may have to wait. It'll say 1 day or 5 hours or whatever, and then you can still submit the job, but it won't start for some amount of time. Usually, if you hunt around in places near Aldrat, you'll find some place that has available manufacturing lines, so you really don't have to wait. You can choose a manufacturing line. Your blueprint has to be at that place for you to start the process. And then, if you look at that blueprint that somebody linked before, it'll list some materials that are required for that thing for one unit of that to be produced. Or in the case of AMLO, 100 units of that to be produced, and you have to have those available, if it's a public server, in your hangar at that particular site. Then you can submit the job, and if you're short of materials, the dialogue will tell you have to get additional materials there. You can also select how many you want to produce. You can produce 1 or 50 or whatever, but you do have to have the number of materials there to complete the job. A really important element of manufacturing is if you want to be profitable, you have to reduce the number of materials that are available. Production efficiency. Production efficiency is part of it. Production efficiency reduces the materials that you require to produce the job by, I believe, right. It reduces the manufacturing cost by 5%, or equivalently, the number of materials that are required to produce that. So, if you have 20 required to produce at no production efficiency, one level of production efficiency will reduce it to 19, et cetera. So you can reduce the amount of number of materials that are required, by increasing your production efficiency skill for T1 production. To be profitable, in many cases, you need to increase that to 4 or 5. Like I got started, even before I joined the uni, I sort of had a feeling from trading in Jeddah that I needed at least 4 to break even and at least production efficiency 5 to make a profit on many items. In addition to that, talk about that later. Let me just link hold on, let me get a link and you can look at this.
Let's get that one.
This is a pretty useful site for getting information on blueprints and production issues in general. There's a link here for almost every T1 blueprint. But take a look at that one. And that one is the T2. You've got to find another one. If you link into that, and if you look up near the upper right-hand corner, you're going to see a list of the components, that are required to manufacture this particular item. And this is small NIEM screen reinforcer. It's fairly common. Most uni T1 frigates that are shield. Use this, so actually if you want to produce this for your own account, I think you'll wind up using this. If you don't have any production efficiency at all, you will need 4 charred microcircuits, 4 fried interface circuits, and 3 malfunctioning shield emitters. As you increase your production efficiency, you will need fewer of these. So when you get to a PE4, you will only need 3, 3, and 2. This isn't a particularly good example because there are very few components in this thing, so actually you can't see the gradual reduction in production efficiency for this. Hold on, let me find one more. Right now I know how to do this. Hulling armor, damage control, and here. If you look at this one, you can see the reduction in components as production efficiency increases. So you can reduce the number of, say, Mexilon units that you need to produce one damage control from 65 down to 53 by increasing your production efficiency from 0 to 5. Now, this is sort of important because, a couple of months ago, I checked how much it costs to produce this and how much it costs for Jeddah, and the numbers that I had were something like at PE0, the material components to produce this thing cost 8,852 ISK. And at PE5, they cost 7,210 ISK. So basically it cost 1,700 less or 1,600 less to produce this thing at PE5. And Jeddah prices, damage control sold at the time for $6,998. Actually, you can't make a profit even at PE5. But there's an additional process called you can research these blueprints, and there's a process called material efficiency research, and the first research skill activity that we're going to discuss, and that requires the metallurgy skill. And you look for a manufacturing line, you can find a material research line, and you can submit your blueprint to it. And when it comes out, it will be a more efficient blueprint. And there is a built-in 10% waste built into each blueprint, each T1 blueprint, and each application of material research will reduce that by a certain amount. I think the amount is if you apply it once, it will cut it in half. If you apply it again, it will reduce it to a third. If you apply it again, it will reduce it to a fourth and a fifth and et cetera. And eventually it will come very, very close to being 10% less than the original. And if you were to apply that to this particular blueprint, that would reduce the cost down to $65.47, and now all of a sudden you can make a profit selling this thing at JITA. Now, the thing is that prices around Aldrat are higher, and if we were to sell this thing at Aldrat at the time, you could sell this thing around $8,900, or heck, for a little bit higher than that. And so you could have made a profit for this, at P0, P1. But not much. It still helps a lot. And the way to think about this is it has something that sells for $5,000 and it has $4,000 ISK material costs. If you apply one material efficiency to that, it will reduce the cost by 5%, and it'll take that $3,800 and reduce it by 190, almost 200, down to 3,600. You're 3,800 from 4,000 down to 100. While you've only reduced your costs by 5%, you have increased your profit by over 20%. So, it can have quite an effect on your profits, applying material efficiency research. Now, one thing is, material efficiency research is only important for T1 production. It doesn't have any impact on T2 production at all. You can also do time efficiency research, and time efficiency research will reduce the amount of time that it takes to run a production process. And I think there's 20% of time waste built into a T1 blueprint. And you can reduce that by successive applications of time research down where you reduce the time by around 20%. Now, that doesn't really have a great financial benefit to most people. So, in fact, a lot of people just ignore time efficiency research. So material efficiency research is really important. If you use public sites, you're going to find that material research in some of the high-sec, NPC corporations, anywhere, and certainly around Aldrat, take a long time to wait for. Material research lines, you can wait 30 days or more. Up to 40 days. Sometimes you'll get lucky and you can do 25. People tell me that there are places in HISEC that have much better availability than that. There's even Great Wilderlands, which is in NullSec. It can wait quite a while. I know I live at LowSec campus a lot, and there I can usually find material research lines in the 2-week range. As you go to more dangerous places, the material research lines become more available. I'll be interested to see. I think the uni is starting a pause with research available at it, and we'll see when they start that up whether we can't get better availability. But the thing is, once you've materially researched a blueprint, you never have to do it again. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll buy a blueprint. I'll buy 2 copies of a blueprint. I'll start using one right away. I'll throw the other one into material research. And when the material research one comes out, I'll start using that and sell the first one that I had. Sometimes you have to wait, but, you'll wait a month for the material research to start. It'll take weeks for it to, do the material research. Quite often you'll wind up waiting 2 months before you get your thing, so you sort of have to plan ahead. If you look at that other, I said that for things like damage control, it's hard to make, a profit, and, I have another example of 125-millimeter rail guns that are very difficult to make a profit, but I found that a lot of the rigs, the ship's modifications, are a lot more profitable even without any material research. In fact, earlier I linked that EM shield, you know, reinforcement, you know, thing. And for that one, the cost of components is around, you know, it was around 15,000 ISK, and you can always sell those things for 30,000 or more. And some of the other shield, you know, reinforcements are even more profitable and have exactly the same components. If you do a small anti-thermal screen reinforcement, you'll find it has exactly the same components as the anti-EM. And the other thing is, if you're not very skilled, you can, you know, you can run up your production efficiency to 4, which doesn't take very long at all, maybe a day and a half, and you're optimal. There's nobody in EVE who can produce that thing better than you can. So, you know, if you hunt around, then, you know, it's not just the rigs, but I think if you, you know, if you hunt around and just look at some blueprints and calculate out the prices, you'll find that there are other things that are consistently profitable. You know, don't always stay that way for a long time. I remember, when I first started, I got into the thing where I was, you know, I was producing Blackbirds, and before Retribution, I could, produce these, you know, and make a million ISK profit, maybe, or at worst, maybe 750,000 ISK profit per ship. But after Retribution, I couldn't make a profit at all. And, so, you know, sometimes, you know, things change drastically and you have to change, how you do things. And, okay, so we've covered two types of, you know, of, research. And, okay, another important thing is that you can do a really important set of all the skills that are necessary for buying and selling things are important in manufacturing as well, because you the biggest thing in manufacturing is you have to acquire the components that you're going to use for the manufacturing. And then you have to take your finished products to market or wherever they're going to be used, if they're going to be used within your corporation. You know, so things like marketing and procurement are fairly important. Sometimes, particularly, yes, marketing and procurement. I think marketing, procurement requires marketing, and marketing allows you to place orders at varying distances from the site that you're at, so you don't always have to travel there. Procurement allows you to sell things, you know, at, you know, at various places. There's another skill called day trading. Good. Okay, thank you. Yeah, you're right. Procurement is buying, marketing is selling. Procurement still requires marketing as, you know, as a requisite, if I remember. There is another skill called day trading, which is fairly expensive. I thought it was at the, when I first got it, and I can't remember whether it's 7 million or 10 million, you know, for the skill book. But basically, it allows you to change prices for existing orders, you know, without being there. And that's, you know, that's sort of useful. In fact, you don't even have to be docked up. You can be in space. You know, I think each application, the first application of day trading allows you to change prices anywhere within the system that you're at. Level one allows you to be five away. Level two allows you to be five away. Level three, 10 away, and et cetera. Finally, level five allows you to be anywhere in the region. I found I've been able to get along just fine with just five because that's roughly the distance between Aldrot and Heck. Those are the two main places where, at least when I got started, you know, I was working with. So you don't have to spend a lot of time training these skills, but they are fairly expensive. And I'm going to say a lot of the skills associated with manufacturing are expensive, but they don't necessarily take a long time to train. Another important remote skill, we can talk about that one too. Accounting basically allows you to reduce your costs. I'm going to say that most of your costs are really not that high. They're important for sell, you know, setting up sell and buy orders because they will reduce the amount that you have to pay, the tax that you need to pay, so it's useful for that. But here's another skill that's important, and that's supply chain management. This will allow you to initiate, finish manufacturing processes at sites that you are not at. So if you have a series of manufacturing sites around the area that you're at, and I'm going to suggest maybe something like, say, Altrinur, where you have things running in IFE and Velour and all the little manufacturing sites around there, you can start and stop manufacturing processes without flying there. And that can be useful if you're at war and you don't want to be exposing yourself at that particular time. The other skill, the fifth skill that is important is scientific networking. That basically allows you to do the same thing with research jobs, and the two research jobs that we've discussed so far are material efficiency research and time efficiency research. We'll be discussing a few more. Now, just as with mass production, mass production have more manufacturing jobs running concurrently. There is another skill called laboratory operations, which allows you to have more research jobs running, and that is called laboratory operation. And basically at skill level 1, you're allowed to have 2 research jobs running concurrently. At level 5, it's up to 6. There is also advanced laboratory operations, which allows you to have another 5. And as with manufacturing lines, there are a maximum of 11, research jobs that you can have running concurrently. Because there is a long waiting time for some of the research jobs, it's probably more important that you train laboratory operation and even advanced laboratory operation than manufacturing. Manufacturing lines are a lot more readily available. So you don't have to have as many concurrent manufacturing jobs as you do laboratory jobs. Whereas with laboratory jobs, you may have a job that is sitting in the queue for a month and a month and a half, and it will be tying up that slot for a long time, so you need more. Okay, are there any questions about T1 manufacturing that you would like to ask now? Because I'm going to move into T2. Okay, I haven't produced ships in a long time, and as I remember, let me just bring up a blueprint. Can you ask me that question in the Q&A afterwards when I can look at it a little bit more? I haven't produced ships in a long time. When I did a lot of production of ships, and then I found out for a while they weren't profitable, and I started making a lot more money producing components, and especially T2 components, and I just haven't gotten back to ships. And although I just started doing some material efficiency on some things, and I may be moving back into it. T2 manufacturing. You can make money at T1 manufacturing. I know that I've made as much as $200 million in a month. One time when I was fairly, I was very active that month. More typical would be in the, 50 to 100 range. But it depends how much time you want to spend at it. But you can make a lot more money, a lot more risk, at T2 manufacturing. It's a lot more involved. And the first thing you have to do, there's a sequence that you have to go through. There are blueprint originals for some T2 components. They're very old, and there are usually very highly experienced players from a long time ago have these things and won't give them up. You won't find them available in contracts. I have never seen one, and you may not either. But the more recent method for T2 production is the invention process. And you start with a T1 component, a T1 blueprint, and you apply a process called invention against it, and you get a T2 blueprint out of that. Not all T1 blueprints will produce T2 blueprints. If you look at this Trooper site, at the bottom, it will, in the about halfway down on the left-hand side, it will tell you whether, like this, if you look at the damage control blueprint that I most recently linked about halfway down an invention, you'll see can invent damage control to blueprint. But not everything, you know, produces a, you know, a T2 blueprint. For example, there are, maybe 10 types of projectile ammo, and there are only 4 types, you know, of T2 ammo, and there are only 4 of those blueprints that will, in fact, you can put into the invention process and get a T2 ammo for it. So you have to know that. And the first thing you do in order to do that you have to take and produce a blueprint copy of your blueprint original, because that's what's input into the invention process. And like material research, this is a very difficult thing to find copying lines, at NPC facilities. Very complicated material research, very hard to find, takes a long wait time. Because of that, if you, you might as well produce lots of copies when you do it, because you're going to wait the same amount of time. And I imagine that that's part of the problem with, the reasons that they're so choked up, because everybody does, does this. But anyways, you take your blueprint original and you're going to, put it into a copying line. And just like material research and time efficiency research, there are lines available for this. And I think that the skill that governs copying is science. And and each application of science will reduce the amount of time it takes for a copy to be produced. So you're going to put this thing into and you're going to wait for a while, and eventually you're going to get a bunch of copies out. Well, now the next thing you have to do is for each of these copies, you can, by the way, these things, if they're copied from from a blueprint that has material efficiency, they will retain that material efficiency. Blueprint copies cannot have material efficiency or time efficiency applied to them, though. But the next thing you're going to do is you're going to take these and you're going to apply another process called invention against them, and then this is another research-oriented activity that is governed by, lab operation. You can't have all material efficiency, time efficiency, copying, and the invention. You can have a total number of these things running, no more than your level of laboratory operation plus one, or advanced laboratory operation plus whatever. Invention lines are fairly easy to find. So once you have your blueprint copy, you don't really have to hunt around very far to find an invention line. You do need some additional, skills in order to do the invention process. And for example, if I had a medium shield, I would find that what I would need. In fact, let me just see if I can find. And let's look at this one. Yes, if we just look at the damage control link I had at the trooper site. If you look about just a ways down on the right-hand side, you will need, a data core for molecular engineering. For this particular one, the data cores that you'll need will be different for each one. But you'll need a data core for molecular engineering, you'll need a data core for nanite engineering, and you'll need something called cryptic data interface. Minmatar data interface. There are 4 different types of interfaces, one for each race, and I think Occult is for Amar, Esoteric is for Kaldari, and Incognito for Galente. You will also need skills. You will need the science skill, molecular engineering one. You will need the science skill, nanite engineering one, skills. And for each type of thing that you produce, it will require a different type of skill. Yeah, somebody linked a data core for Kaldari ship engineering. If you're producing a Tech 2, if you're trying to do an invention on a Tech 2 Kaldari ship, you will need that particular data core and one more as well. You will always need 2, and you will need 2 skills. If you need the data core, you will need also the corresponding science skill, Kaldari Starship Engineering, For anything else, you will need the science skill corresponding to that as well. You will need a cryptic data interface, that is not consumed. You only need one of those at each site that you're doing the invention process at, and you can reuse that as many times as you want. You know, so each time you submit a job, you can use the same one. You only have to buy it once. It costs a few million ISK. There are actually a total of 12, data interfaces, four for each race. There's one called the Cryptic Tuner Data Interface that is used for rigs. And then there is a Cryptic Starship Data Interface. Ship. There's a cryptic ship data interface that is used for ship production. So there are a total of 12, but like I said, you only need to buy one ever. Some of them are fairly expensive, into the tens of millions, into the 10 million or so. Like I said, you only buy it once. That isn't true for the data cores. They will be consumed by the process. The higher that the science skill that you have for each one of these, for instance, damage control, you need a molecular engineering data core and a nanite engineering data core. The higher the skill in each of those is, the better your chances of success. For most components and rigs, your base chance is 40%. If you get down to battleships, I think it's 20 or 25%, and for various sizes of ships in between, for a frigate, it's like 35, and for a cruiser, maybe 30 and whatever. But the bigger the ship, the less chance you have for base success. You can also, your science skill will add to that. You have a Tech 1, meta-level component that you can throw that into the process, and that will, slightly increase your chances of success. So, for instance, if you're producing autocannon, and you have a Scout autocannon, which might be a meta-level 4, if you're allowed to put that into the invention process, and it will increase your chances of success. It will also allow you to put in a meta-level 0 in there, but that will not increase your success, so don't waste your time. Unfortunately, you can't throw a T2, in there. It won't do you any good. And a lot of times throwing in a meta-level 4 is so expensive that it's just not worth it for an additional 1% of chance of success. But sometimes you can find a meta-level 2 that's fairly cheap or something like that, and then it's worth it. You just have to sort of work that out. The important thing is that you can also throw in a decryptor. There are a line of decryptors. If you open up your marketing tab and browse down to manufacturing, I gotta find this myself, manufacturing and research, components, there is a research and invention, and there is a prototypes and decryptors, and for instance, just open up Amar decryptors. Or if you can't find all that, just look for occult accelerant, or something like that. But anyways, you'll see here there is a list of, decryptors, and these will change the result of your production by, varying things. I believe that the one I use most commonly, because I use cheap things, is occult augmentation. It actually reduces your chances of success, but will give you, rather than copy for one component after you're done, it will give you an additional 9, so you can produce 10 of them. So you may start with 40% chance of success plus some small amount. You'll wind up with a 25% chance of success, but you'll wind up with a blueprint that will produce as many as 10 of these things. So sometimes I think that's worth it, particularly, for the low cost of the augmented decryptor. Some decryptors can cost quite a bit of money, and you sort of have to factor that into your decision, what the final cost is. For example, if you're selling something, if the final sale price for something that you're producing is 100 million ISK, and your base chance of success is 25%, and I believe, I can't remember which one, there's an optimized occult augmentation, I think, increases your chance of success by 80%. Then that will increase your chance of success by 80% of 25% will take you up to 45%. And so basically an additional 20% chance of success, and you're selling the thing for a million ISK, you know, you're that's basically worth, I mean, a hundred million ISK, then that thing is worth it to, 220 million ISK to you. And spending 8.5 million ISK for it is not that bad. On the other hand, if you're, what you're selling is, what you're going to sell everything at is 5 million ISK, then you really don't want to spend 8.5 million ISK on something that's going to increase your chances of success, even if it was 100%, and it won't be. And I'm not an expert on all of these. I usually, right now I'm producing components. They're not that expensive. I use occult augmentation quite a bit. And I'm pretty sure that that is probably always going to be better than choosing no decryptor at all. You'll put this into the production, into the invention process, and after it'll, you'll submit this just like any other job. And then when you're done, you'll either wind up with a Tech 2, a blueprint, or you'll wind up with nothing. You will get your data interface back, but the data cores will be gone. The decryptor will be gone. If you submitted a meta level item as as well, that will be gone as well. So you sort of have to figure all that out about what's profitable and what's not. But if you're successful, and say if you, even if you're 25%, if you submit 20 of these, you'll get 5 out. You'll get a Tech 2 blueprint, and let me just see if I can find one of these and I'll link it. That's a Tech 2 blueprint. You can link that and take a look at it. And that will have additional skills that are necessary to produce it. And here's one thing. The skills that are necessary to actually produce this thing are usually higher than those are used for the invention process. So you might as well train all those skills up to the level that's used to produce it, because you'll get a higher chance of success as well. So, even though I think for this thing I only need rocket science 1 or 2 to research this thing, I might as well train everything up to rocket science level 3, so that I can, and then I'll get a better chance for success. And there will be some additional materials, that are necessary for this. Just a second. That's for copying. Oh, wait. That's for bill of materials manufacturing. Right. And there will be some additional materials. Some of these materials are minerals just like every other thing, but there will be some things like these phenolic composites and plasma plus generator that are more, and rocket fuel that I think some of these things are produced from, planetary PI. Some of these things are produced from salvage operations. And you will always need a robot assist module as well, and that will be partially consumed. In this particular blueprint, each instance of this will reduce the robot assist module by 5%, so producing 20 batches of Inferno Rage rockets will totally consume the RAM ammunition tech. I always found it's useful to buy the blueprints for the RAM ammunition tech and produce those locally rather than buying them. The prices tend to fluctuate quite a bit, and you can almost certainly produce these things cheaper, than you can buy them. That way you can keep large stocks of these things around and use them for whatever you want to produce. That's basically it. I don't have anything more, I think. If you guys have questions, I'd be glad to try and answer them. Somebody asked about Starship additional components. Can you link a blueprint? I think I have a blueprint of this too. Okay, to me, this thing has nothing for extra extra materials. Right? Are you seeing extra materials on yours when you look at it? You know, if I hit the invention tab for the Merlin, there are extra materials, but they're exactly the extra materials for the invention process that we discussed. You know, the two data cores and the esoteric, data interface. And like I said, to produce this thing, you only need Starship Engineering Level 1 and Mechanical Engineering Level 1. But as I remember, I'm pretty sure that once you get the T2, if you successfully go through the invention process, I'll take a look at the other one in just a second. If you go through the, invention process and come out with the T2, Merlin, which might be a Harpy or, I think it's a Harpy is one of them. And a Hawk, I think are probably the two that, you can produce either one of those out of this blueprint. You won't be able to get by with just, mechanical engineering level 1. I think you'll need level 4, maybe even level 5. And that's why I said it's probably before you get into, I've gone down this road. I actually own two Falcon blueprints that I produce, which are actually cruiser blueprints, but I can't come close to actually manufacturing with them yet. Sometime I'll get around to increasing those skills and I'll move into that. Let me take a look at the blueprint, the Bantam blueprint. I sort of remember something about this. Yes. I don't think it really means anything more than you just have to add that amount to the other amount to get a total amount, and that the total amount that you need for this is 455. You know what? I'm going to look into this, and I'll ask someone, and I'm going to say by Sunday I'll link something in the forum item for this class.
Extra materials. If you want to know about that, that's stuff that is not affected by production efficiency.
Oh, okay. So, in other words, what you're saying is only the materials are affected by material efficiency, but the 404 is just not something you can reduce.
Right. Yeah, anything up in materials, it'll be affected by material efficiency, or production efficiency. Extra materials are always the same. They don't change.
Okay, well, there's an answer, I assume that that's true, and I'm going to ask someone just to make sure, but I think because I think I've heard something like that, and I just wasn't sure. Oh, it does say something about recycling, and recycling really has nothing to do with manufacturing. I think it's where you can take an existing thing and reduce it back to its original mineral elements and use those back into the manufacturing process. Honestly, I have never been that needy, so I'm not sure under what circumstances that's an effective thing to do. But, right. So I assume that, like you said, that production efficiency isn't affected by that. How about material research? Is that effective? That's not really a skill. You know what? I have a blueprint, a Bantam blueprint. I may just play around with that, and the next time I teach this class, I'll actually know what the answer is completely.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever reduce the extra materials. I'm not sure on it, but I think those are static no matter what.
What Cowboy Jones said is, this is what I found too, that it's hard for me to make a profit doing ships, and that's one reason I got away from it. But I found other things that are very profitable in equipment. You have to sort of hunt around, and I found almost anything in T2 production is profitable at some level. With very few skills, you can get into producing ammunition, and make large wads of it. And if you can't sell it locally, you can always ship it up to Jeddah and sell it pretty fast. and make a profit at it. It doesn't cost, the component costs for ammunition, T2, are not that high. Right. And, but I do think this, I mean, like I said, I have, T2 ship blueprints that I can't use yet, you know, but on the other hand, it's clear to me that they're profitable. So I think T2 ship manufacturing is another area that's fairly profitable, because, usually you wind up having to have a Tech 1 version of the ship. Well, those aren't really very expensive compared to what the final cost of the T2 ship that you're going to sell and the other components. I think you can make a profit selling T2 ships. And when I get back into T2 ships, which I think probably next year, I'll be able to confirm that. Are there any other questions? Well, if there aren't any, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you for coming, and I hope that you learned something. And every time I teach those people ask questions, and I find more stuff to add to the course. And you guys certainly raised some good questions. Thank you.